All right, we're going to continue wearing out the Jimmy Z Hibachi Hotline. Alan Smothers, he is up, the bad boy of Sports Talk Radio, calling the HTC Game of the Week tonight. And, Alan, it was a 17-7 win, I believe, for St. James over North Myrtle. That was the game you were calling, correct?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Sorry I didn't get back to you quick enough.
Hey, it's fine. You know, it's fine. Everybody, so many different media entities in this town at different games, and I appreciate that because if they were all at the same game, we wouldn't know what was going on elsewhere.
I sometimes, you know, when we look at the game of the week, we kind of try to, if there are two different radio stations doing the game, and this is a unique area, even Lewis, you know, growing up in North Carolina and Virginia and doing the game. I mean, even in crazy football, areas, every school that is on the radio, like there are around here, is a rarity. And I love that. I was happy to, I was happy to help, you know, get some schools through the years on there. And we're going to have even more on next year from what I understand. And so we try to stay away from if there are multiple other entities covering the game, but sometimes it's unavoidable.
Absolutely. A 17-7 win tonight for St. James that you got to witness, Alan. And I wouldn't have picked that before today. How was St. James able to control this game and limit North Myrtle Beach's offense, which has been explosive this season?
I tell you what, the defense of St. James and the offensive line of St. James just were, I don't want to say they were dominant because North Myrtle Beach moved the football fine. I mean, I made comments throughout the game that that North Myrtle Beach moved the ball, not at will, but between the 20s as you know, as good as I'm sure Coach Harden would have hoped, but they just couldn't get points on the board. And St. James, the same way. They moved the ball, and then they missed a couple of field goals in the first half, and it was 3-0 at halftime. Charles Overson finally got a 40-yard field goal to make it 3-0 at half, and then it was just the offensive line of St. James that just wore down North Myrtle Beach. Both teams played well. There was only one turnover in the game, period. That was early, and it really didn't result in any points. So it was a very well-played game, both sides. I know that I said on the air, Coach Harden is going to be stinging in the morning when he watches the film and sees that Merrill Moss did not interfere with the defensive player. They got an offensive pass interference call on a fabulous catch in the end zone by Merrill Moss that should have resulted in a touchdown for North Myrtle Beach. If it had been 17-14 late rather than 17-7, that might have, you know, been a little different late in the game. But St. James's offensive line just wore on North Myrtle Beach, and they were great. And even Billy Hurston told me earlier in the year, this is the most experienced, biggest, best offensive line in St. James school history. And they proved it tonight.
Now, Alan, were there any standouts on that line that you could single out, or was the unit just excellent overall?
It was overall. I mean, these guys, they're all seniors. They've been there before. I mean, they just played tremendous. But I said during the broadcast, I said, you know, I'm not a football aficionado by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just a big fan. But I was like Nostradamus tonight in the pregame because we always highlight a player, a couple of players for each team. And I said, I'm going to use the kickers tonight because Charles Overson is without question the best kicker in the area. And Andrew Smith at North Myrtle Beach might be the next best. And I said, these guys are going to have a factor in the ball game tonight. Well, they both kicked and kicked well. They just didn't get a lot of points, you know, out of it. Smith missed one right at the end of the first half. Overson missed two in the first half. And I said, my defensive players, I said, it's going to be a special teams and defensive game. Lo and behold, Elijah Pursley, for St. James is who I previewed in the pregame. And he had a huge game, and Noah Callahan from North Myrtle Beach, he had to fill in at center tonight because of a injury to North Myrtle Beach's center. So that joker played on both sides of the ball on the offensive and defensive line the entire night and had and made a huge difference. At the end of the night, you could see him. He was just absolutely worn out. So I was proud of my picks in the pregame, but I felt bad for those trenches, the guys in the trenches tonight, because they both teams' offensive and defensive lines were really good.
Mm-hmm. Now, Alan, you've helped us out with the 17-7 win for St. James over North Myrtle. Where are you headed to next week?
At North Myrtle next week. Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach. I have a preference either way. It would have been fun, though, to have North Myrtle Beach and Myrtle Beach playing for the region title next week. But since, you know, everybody else is 2-2, Myrtle Beach is now the outright winner of Region 7-3A. If North Myrtle Beach had a won tonight, they would have been playing for the region title against Myrtle Beach next week. And I think, you know, as you were talking to Ian Guerin earlier tonight about North Myrtle Beach is good enough to beat anybody. But unfortunately, there's been times that they could lose to anybody this year. And I hate that they had to play 3 games in 10 days as well. But, that's the way it works out. But the North Myrtle Beach got every chance to beat Myrtle Beach next week, and that's where we'll be. And then we've got the Conway, Carolina Forest, season finale, before the playoffs began.
And, Coach Brown's, Sharks playing a little bit of spoiler tonight. He's on the line after you, Alan, but, he's sending all of us, to go look into Region 7-3A. Tiebreak scenarios for playoff appearances. So we're going to be looking at the state manual for sure after tonight's game. It is St. James 17, North Myrtle Beach 7. Alan, we'll check in with you next week, all right?
Absolutely. Congratulations to the Sharks. They played well tonight.
All righty. Every time we check in with a coach on the show, it is brought to you by Seaboard Betting. Retail is for suckers. We are bringing the warehouse to you. Coach Robbie Brown of the St. James Sharks, as we mentioned, just took down North Myrtle Beach at home 17-7. Coach Brown, appreciate you carving out some time, and congrats on the W.
I appreciate you having me. It was a big win for St. James.
Absolutely. A low-scoring affair, 17-7, but a very important win for your boys. What were you impressed with?
Mostly the line, the defensive line, the offensive line. I thought we played really well. It was an overall team effort. We played a solid, offensive game and defensive game. Special teams, we didn't have any major breakdowns. We did miss 2 field goals, but Charles came along and hit a big, long field goal, on the 3rd attempt. So, but it was overall just a solid game for us.
What do you say to a field goal kicker in that situation when he's missed his first two?
Well, I grabbed him before the third and actually said, looked at him, I said, he kind of looked like he shook his head, but he probably didn't. But I grabbed him, I said, don't shake your head. I said, go out there, put your foot through the upright, and you're going to make this one. And Charles is a great kicker, and he's got a great leg, and you know how kickers, you go through little spells. But we knew if he keeps on giving him the chances, he's going to get on a roll and make them. And he did tonight.
Oh, sure. Honestly, Coach Brown, when I watched you guys in the C&B event, the preseason event before the season started, the very first thing I noticed was I said, wow, that kid's got a leg. I mean, he was sending those punts sailing. I think he knocked in a 42-yarder or something that day, and that's not typical for high school. And I've watched a couple of your games this year. The PA announcer enjoys calling him the weapon. So I was surprised to see him miss too early on, but says something about his confidence and your confidence in him that you gave him a shot to put in a 40-yarder after that.
Yeah, no doubt. He's going to make them. And another thing he does, I think the majority of about every one of our kickoffs were in the end zone. So that's really big to us. We tried it as far as we were worried about their returners and talked about sunshine in it. But we decided to go ahead and let him kick it. And after he put that one in the end zone, we just kept kicking it deep. Said, look, put it in the end zone. And that was big, just starting them on the 20 every time, making them have to go 80 yards.
Coach Brown, the one thing that I've heard from both people that were at your game today and media members covering it, the offensive line apparently played outstanding. How has that unit come along this year?
We've stayed pretty much after the first couple games injury free. We had a little bit, but we stayed healthy is the main thing, and you just keep the whole unit together. And you know, they've gotten better every game, and they know that's experience over the last. I've coached them for the last 2 years, and they just know the system. And when we change things during a game, and you know, they played a great game tonight. You know, they were intense. They came to this game. They knew it was big, and they brought their A game. I was really proud of them and the defensive line.
Now, you guys have a lot of 2-2 teams in your region now. I'm going to put you on the spot, Coach Brown. You're also helping me out with homework as well. Do you happen to know the myriad of tie-breaking scenarios for playoff berth?
I know that it first goes, depending on how it is, how it works out, it goes head-to-head if you're tied. Like a three-way tie, it goes head-to-head. And then after that, though, if everybody beats everybody, I'm not sure for this, so don't quote me on it, but I want to say defensive points given up.
Gotcha. I was just checking there, because you know, some coaches are going to say, hey, we're just focused on winning next week, whatever happens. I was just seeing how much you knew, but of course this isn't the only season you coach football, so you've seen a few of these ties before. But that puts you at 2-2. That puts North Myrtle at 2-2. You have the head-to-head over, and Georgetown at 2-2. Myrtle Beach clinches, but that will be interesting to see how it shakes out. And we're certainly pulling for the Sharks. You guys have been a great story based on where you inherited the program 2 years ago. And so much emphasis on high-octane spread offenses at the high school level. It's fun to hear about a 17-7 game where your line play was dominant.
There's no doubt. I'm just glad for kids, and they've worked hard at St. James, and we've struggled over the years, and it's a great atmosphere. Our student body and our home crowd is it was awesome tonight, and it's a great place to coach. And you know, they've stuck with the system. The kids have believed in the system, and you know, we've been fortunate to get a few more wins this year.
He is St. James head coach Robbie Brown. They win tonight against North Myrtle at home 17-7. Coach Brown, best of luck preparing for Lake City, and hopefully we'll be talking about a playoff berth soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.